Morning. You awake out there this morning? All right. All right. No sleeping during the sermon. It's forbidden. Glad that you're here this morning. Welcome to Wylie United Methodist Church. If you are a visitor with us this morning, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out and let us know that you were here. No pressure to do that, but we can't get to know you unless we know who you are. And we love to add people to our Wylie Methodist family. There's a box on there. You may have been visiting for a while and never really let us know who you are, and that's an opportunity even today to do that. There's a box on there you can check to be on our email list, where we do a lot of our communicating as a church. So glad that you are here with us this morning. We were going to have the discovery class today, had some conflicts, we couldn't do it. So next week we will have the discovery class, which is basically just a class kind of talking about the church. If you want to learn more about Wylie Methodist Church and who we are and what we're about and how to get involved and those sort of things, next week, right after church, we will meet down in the conference room down at the end of the fellowship hall. We'll have lunch available for you, and I promise to get you out no later than 2:30. That's my promise to you. We also will have child care available. If you need that, you can let us know about that. So hope that you will consider being a part of that. Ephesians 2. Turn to Ephesians 2. When Cheryl and I were in Durham this summer, we went to I told you all this a few weeks ago. We went to a church, and it was, I think the average age was probably like, 14 or something in that church, something like that. Now, it was probably most people in their 20s and 30s, and the pastor said, if you'll turn on your Bible, that's what he said. It was cracking me up. But anyway, I guess that's the way they do it these days. But if you will turn on your Bible to Ephesians 2. Are you guys out there today? This is kind of, what's up, man? I'm glad I don't have any jokes planned today, because, even when you're in a good mood, you don't laugh at my jokes. Thank you very much. Golly. All right, we need to pick it up. This is the Word of God. Are we excited about that God has placed this in our hands? All right, let's read it. Ephesians 2. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. This is a Gentile church. This is a church that Paul was sent by God to the Gentiles, this is a church, and we pick it up in chapter 2, verse 1. Paul speaking to that church. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. I want to stop for just a second. Did you know Paul is saying that we've all been there? And did you know, and we're going to expound on this a little bit today, but did you know that living in the way of sin, living in the flesh, did you know that leads to death? Has anybody experienced that? Has anybody seen that? Y'all are in stunned silence today. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are here. We thank you for your word. Father, I feel the resistance of the enemy today would have us to not receive what you have for us. So we pray against that. No weapon that is formed against us will prosper in the name of Jesus. So we invite you, Holy Spirit. You have power. You have authority. Come and speak in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start off by asking you something. We have to, I've said this before, but we before we can do anything in life, we have to understand, we have to come to a place where do we believe that this is the inspired Word of God? I mean, if you don't believe that, in all honesty, we're probably not the church for you. I'm just telling you, because every Sunday from this pulpit should come the Word of God. Not my opinion, not what's going to feel good, not what is socially acceptable, but the Word of God. We must come to a place where we make a decision, has God spoken? And if He has, what does He have to tell us about life, about how to conduct ourselves, about holiness, about sin, about death, all of it? Because I want to show you a video here in just a second. Alan, if you'll get that kind of ready. If we do not have the standard of God's Word, we just make it up as we go. Do we understand that? And that's what's happening in our culture. We're just whatever the latest poll, the latest fad, whatever our buddy says, whatever we heard, and this is, I'm telling you, it's scary the things that can come out of the pulpit in our nation these days. So I'll tell you, and I'll say it again, don't trust me. Trust in the Word of God. And I'll tell you again, if you ever hear something from me or from this pulpit that is not founded in the Word of God, challenge me on it. You have my blessing and my permission and my encouragement to do that. If we don't have the standard of God's Word, we make it up as we go. And here's the results. I showed this a few months ago, but I want to show it to you again. This was in New York City, Times Square.
When you die, you die. There's no more life in the body.
I just think that's it. You know, I have a very scientific point of view on it.
Turn to dust.
They get cremated, they get buried, they donate their parts to science.
We fall asleep forever, but we don't know. It's a mystery, it's a surprise.
We were produced by evolution.
We don't go to anywhere. I think it's like before we were born, you know?
Heaven is for those who repent and feel like they atone for their sins and then they go up to heaven.
I believe that we go into like the sky, like as clouds or stars.
I think if you're a good person and you're an honest person, I think that you probably will go to heaven, right?
I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm saying I don't know. And I think the people who talk about it with certainty don't know.
I think it's nice to believe in that because it makes you feel hopeful.
I believe heaven is a place that we'll be going after we die. If you commit to Jesus as your personal savior.
I don't believe in hell because it doesn't exist.
I don't believe hell is a real place. I believe that hell could be here.
I don't want to go there.
I think hell definitely does exist. There's hell on earth, there's hell in the afterlife.
Because if there has to be a heaven, and we all hope that there is, there has to be an opposite of that.
Maybe not like fire and like brimstone like you think, but more of like a state of mind.
I think that's a really horrible thought, and nobody on earth would be that horrible, and they shouldn't have to deal with that, you know?
I feel like hell's probably more like a timeout from heaven, as opposed to somewhere where He sends people to suffer for eternity. Because like you said, I don't know how a loving God could send people there forever.
I think it's the person's decision.
I think people send themselves to hell because He gave us free will, so.
Depends on who they're sending. I mean, you know, I don't have a problem with Hitler going to hell. I mean, you know, what's the downside of that?
Well, if someone has done something really, really bad, like killed someone, so probably he would be sent to hell.
It's funny, they say God is almighty and all-powerful, but then they're saying, why would God do this? If He's almighty and all-powerful, why are you questioning Him? you know, he does what he does, or she does what she does, or it does what it does, you know.
We make the decision, and once we receive Christ into our hearts, then we will go to heaven. Everybody has a second chance every day.
Friends in Christ, that's a snapshot of our culture. We are all over the place as a culture in our nation. Now, some would say that it's arrogant for me or anyone else to think we've got it right and everybody else has got it wrong. And on the surface, if we're looking at people's opinion, then that holds water. But if you trust that God has spoken, He's not a God of confusion. He's a God of order and truth. So we conclude the series today, God's Upside Down Kingdom, where we've been seeing that God doesn't make sense in the ways of the world. In our logic, the first should be last and the last should be first and those kinds of things, that God doesn't make sense. His kingdom is upside down. Today we conclude with the dead live. The dead live. Now, so we're basically today's message, church, is the gospel message. It's the gospel message that each one of us probably has heard, and many of us, if not all of us, have received this. So here's the message. In the upside down kingdom, death is a consequence of sin. It tells us that, you know, that video, you know, there's all sorts of things. They're asking them about heaven and hell. Do you believe this and do you believe that? God's word tells us that death is the consequence of sin. When sin came into the picture in the garden, death followed. Death followed. This passage that we looked at today, Paul is talking to this church, and he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. So there's this death that comes with sin. We see it in Genesis chapter 2. God is telling Adam and Eve that, you know, you've got the run of the place. Do whatever you want to do. Eat whatever you wanted to eat. Just don't eat this. And yet, they ate. And he said, when you eat of it, you will surely die. In Romans chapter 6, it says, the wages of sin, meaning the punishment for sin, the consequences for sin, is death. There's this separation from God that when sin comes into the picture, there's a separation from God. Now, I don't know, I like this movie. It's kind of, you know, it's pretty intense in some of the parts, but there's a movie called The Green Mile. Anybody seen The Green Mile? And I think it's a good movie. Again, very intense movie. But there's a guard that he's really kind of a, you know, know-it-all. Percy's in this movie and all. And he comes walking. These guards are on death row, and he comes walking in this ginormous prisoner who's been convicted of murder, and he comes walking him in, and he's so interested in making a big spectacle of himself. He starts walking and he says, "Dead man walking," and he just keeps screaming that over and over as he's walking him into the prison. "Dead man walking, dead man walking." Church, when we are in our sins, we are dead men walking. Dead men, dead women walking in our sin. Death comes with sin. It is the consequence. It's the punishment. And it had to be, this debt has to be paid. There's not only this physical death, but there's also a spiritual death. This severing of our relationship, our intimacy with God. So we must understand that. And this, that point is at the very heart of why we should be passionate. I end every service with what? Somebody tell me what I say. Go tell someone. Why do I say that? Because it's kind of a neat little catchphrase. I say that because we have the most important message in the entire universe is on our lips and in our heart to share with others. And there are eternal consequences at stake when we don't share. Go and tell someone how much Jesus loves them. Go and tell someone what he has done for them. Go and tell someone how he has changed your life. That is the great commandment, the great commission, is to love God, love your neighbor, and go and make disciples. And the reason that is so significant is because outside of Christ, we are doomed. We are doomed. Second point, in the upside-down kingdom, the sacrificial love of Jesus, the sacrificial love of Jesus results in life. We heard it in the children's sermon today, Teresa was sharing. It says it in verse 4 and 5 of our passage today. But because, he says, you are dead in your transgressions. Paul sets the stage. You are dead. But then he goes on. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive, even when we were dead in our transgressions. So we are dead. Christ comes and moves us to life. Is that important, church? Is that significant? Have we seen it in our lives? I've seen people that harden people that you think, golly, man, old so-and-so, man, I don't know. I don't know if he ever get it. God is a changer of hearts. He is the changer of from death to life. This passage out of Isaiah 53, one of my favorite passages, especially in the Old Testament. Listen to this. Listen to these words from the prophet Isaiah. He was, speaking of Christ, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. In other words, he was pierced and he was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. We just read that the punishment for sin is death. So the punishment that should have been ours was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed from death to life. By his wounds, because he was pierced, because he was crushed, we've moved from death to life. We all like sheep have gone astray. That's not a compliment, by the way. Sheep are really stupid. Did you know that? We all like sheep have all gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and we have death as the consequence. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, the sin of us all. He's laid it upon him. And Jesus, as I said before, was not dragged to the cross kicking and screaming. He went to the cross. He sacrificially went to the cross and laid down his life so that we might not live in death, we might live in freedom, in life. This, church, is significant. Most of y'all know my story about my brother. He was killed in a pipeline blast about 15 years ago in September. Can't believe it's been that long. 2 months before Jay's death, he called me up, and we're having this conversation, and he's trying to help someone receive the grace of God, and they were having trouble with that, and he said, would you talk to them? Which blew me away. I wasn't a pastor at that time, and I was like, wow, Big Brother's asking me to do something important here. That was a big deal to me. That's why it stuck out of my mind. And before he handed them the phone, he said, Jeff, I want you to know I understand what Jesus did for me on the cross. I'm just having trouble explaining it to them where they can receive it. I understand what Jesus did for me on the cross. From death to life. I had no idea the significance that that statement would have in my heart for the rest of my life. The peace that I have knowing Jay got it. He got it. He understood, and he had been moved from death to life. 2 months later, I was looking on him in the hospital with third-degree burns over 100% of his body, unrecognizable as my brother. He understood what Christ did for him on the cross. That makes all the difference in the world to me. So how do we receive this? How do we receive this love, this life? In the upside-down kingdom, we receive it not by our good works, not by what we do for Christ, but what He has already done for us. We receive it by grace through faith. That's what this scripture tells us. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, so that no one may boast. If we could somehow earn our way into heaven, if we could somehow earn our way and be good enough, who would receive the glory for that? We would. And yet, thousands and millions of people, and I would even say our churches are full of people that think you get to heaven by being good. Listen to me. Are you listening? If you're asleep, wake up. Listen to me. That's not the biblical truth. Are you shake your head if you're hearing me? You don't get to heaven. You don't get from death to life by being good. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Most people that say it don't think they're saying anything wrong. They're not trying to be, you know, bad. They're just confused. They just don't understand. Grace, let's take those two words. It is, we receive life by grace through faith. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved merit of God. We don't deserve it, but He finds us acceptable. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough. But He loves us. That's grace. But man, we, as I say, our churches are full of people that are trying to earn God's favor. We're clawing our way up the mountain trying to reach God. Guess what, church? We don't have to climb up to reach God. He reached down to us. He reached down to us. Close your eyes for just a second. I want you to just picture this in your mind. I want you to picture that nail-scarred hand of Jesus. He reaches down and He puts that nail-scarred hand on your cheek. And He looks you right in the eye with that look of, you were worth it. And He places that other hand on the other side of your face. And he just has that look. He doesn't even have to say a word. He just has that look that says, you were worth it. Okay, you can open your eyes. The wages of sin, the consequences of sin is death. But the gift of God, there it is, grace, it's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. We can't earn it. We're not worthy of it. It's a gift. Just because we're His children. You know, I'm going to have a grandchild in 5 weeks. I don't know if anybody knew that. And I'll have more. Kirby, are you listening? I'll have more. And I want to tell you, those grandchildren, I haven't held them. They haven't done anything for me, but I already love them because they're mine. Any grandparents out there relating yet? That grandchild doesn't have to do anything. They're just yours. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. faith, Scripture tells us that faith is being certain and sure of the things that we hope for. Faith isn't certain. Faith is, I just want to tell you, I have said this before, but I'm going to say it again. You know, some of you that know me go, I don't know, man, the jury's still out, but I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be there. I hope to see all of you. And it's not because I'm a good guy. It's not because I serve him in any way. It's not because of any of that. In fact, it's in spite of me. I'm going to be in heaven because I know that Christ has plucked me from death and given me life. Is anybody going to be there with me? And if I ask you, or anyone asks you, are you going to be in heaven when you go to heaven when you die? And if you say, I hope so, you're not, you don't get it. Hello? You don't get it. I hope so isn't the answer. If you understand that Christ has plucked you from death and he's given you life through the cross, through his blood, he's purchased your eternity. The answer is, I'll be there. I hope to see you there. We receive life by grace through faith. Can you tell I'm passionate about this? It's the reason I'm a pastor. It was not a career decision for me to become a pastor. I want you to get it. I want you to understand what Christ has done for you. Fourth thing. In the upside down kingdom, our life brings glory to God. Now listen to this passage. It really kind of struck me as I was preparing for today. Romans 3:23 says this: For all have sinned. I've always gotten that we're all sinners. That part I've always gotten. But this is what jumped off the Bible off the page at me this time. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, when we are in our death, when we are dead men walking, that doesn't bring glory to God. We are in our sins. And we have the consequences of sin, which is death. And that saddens, it breaks God's heart. But when we move from life to death through Christ, we now bring glory to God. The passage today says it this way. I'm going to read three verses here again for you. Listen to what this is saying about glory. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order. So he raised us up in Christ. He's given us life in order. In other words, he's saying for this purpose, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, so he can brag on us. Do you understand what he's saying? He can go, that's my boy. He's alive. He's walking in freedom and life. That's my gal. He might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. When we are over here, we don't receive the glory. God receives the glory. And that's what we should be telling people. You know, when people say things to you, you know, I just want you to know, only God can change a heart. I don't care how good of a life that we're living. I don't care how many people we bless and we serve. And those are important things for us to live out our faith. They're very important things. But only God can change a heart. Only God can move someone from death to life through Jesus Christ. Now listen, last statement as I wrap up here. This summarizes it all. Christ didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Shake your head if you heard what I said. He didn't come. Christ didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And eternal life doesn't start someday when we die. It's not something we look forward to. Eternal life, life, abundant life that Christ has come to give us starts the moment we say yes to Jesus. It starts right now. Now, in the midst of that, we have to understand that this world is not our home. And has anybody besides me noticed that life can be tough? In this world, Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, he says, for I've overcome the world. I know many of us, and we have tough things that we face in our life. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I've done many funerals just this past year of people in this church and their loved ones. And I get it. Life can be really, really tough. But it can also be really, really good. It can be really, really rich. Because I tell you, when we grieve loss, it means we had something to begin with, right? And Jesus, I love this, the most awesome two words of Scripture is found in John chapter 11. And the words are, Jesus wept. Jesus knows that this is a tough world. And he said those two words to Mary and Martha, or he didn't say those two words, but he wept. Mary and Martha were the sisters of Lazarus, and you want to read about Lazarus, John chapter 11. And Lazarus, Jesus was close to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They were friends. He ate with them, and they were buddies. And he had heard that Lazarus was sick. He's in another town. He had heard that he was sick, and he delayed to come. And he told his disciples, they're like, hey, wait. Lazarus is sick. He's your friend. We need to hustle and go. Nope. He said, no, not yet. Because this is not going to end in death. This is going to end in my glory. Glory to God is going to be accomplished here. So he shows up. Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Mary and Martha come out to meet him. And they said, if you'd only been here, Lazarus would be alive. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But he saw them and he saw this crowd of friends that were with him, and they were weeping because at that moment, even though Jesus knew the rest of the story, at that moment they were weeping. They were grieving loss. And there you find the two words. Jesus wept. It said that he was filled with compassion and he wept with them. Jesus weeps with us when we grieve. But guess what? In Christ, we don't stay in death. We can be moved to life. To bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you that through Christ, we are not dead men walking anymore. We thank you for the sacrifice of the cross. We thank you, God, for your great love. And you who are rich in mercy, you made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our sin, you made us alive with Christ through the blood, the sacrificial nature of the cross. If there are those this morning, God, that don't understand, that have never really understood that, they thought the Christian journey was one of being a good person. And they didn't really understand. God, Holy Spirit, move on us. Move in this place. Move us. Move in our hearts. Stir us. Show us how much you care for us. Thank you for the gift of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. If our praise team will come up, we're gonna have a baptism, two baptisms in just a moment to close our service. I'll be telling you more about that in just a moment. But if Christ has stirred your heart this morning, I will be around after worship. Seek me out. Don't, you know, the enemy tries to isolate us, church. The enemy tries to isolate us. The good shepherd wants to bring us into his flock, bring us into his care. So if Christ has stirred your heart this morning about anything, please seek me out after the service. Let's stand as we sing this closing song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I found, was blind, but now I see.
T'was
grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved.
Y'all can be seated, stand, whatever you want to do as we do this. Brendan and Braylon, and I'll bring Braylon out in just a minute. This is Brendan Hernandez. Come on out, buddy. If you'll stand right there for just a second while I ask you. Brendan and his brother Braylon belong to Christy and Roberto Hernandez, been longtime members of our church. These guys have been talking about receiving Jesus and getting baptized, and we visited a couple of weeks ago, and so we're excited about this day. And I don't know if you were paying attention. I know it's kind of an adult thing, but the sermon I preach today, that's what this is we are dead in our sins, and new life comes through Christ. And this baptism that we are going to do today, as you go down in the water, it's symbolic of going down in death to our sins and up in new life in Christ. And that's exciting stuff. But it's Christ who's done the work. The water, there's nothing magical about the water. It's the blood of Jesus who has saved you. So, with that said, I want to ask you some questions of the faith. I want to ask you, we've talked about that word sin, Brendan, and I want to ask you if you admit that you are a sinner. Yes. And do you would like Christ to forgive you of your sin? Yes. Amen. And would you like to receive Christ in your heart as your Lord and your Savior? Yes. Amen. And you want to be baptized in that faith? Yes. Okay, if you'll step down, buddy, and face that way and sit down on that ledge, Mom's going to help me. Dad's out of town working, unfortunately, so he's going to have to watch the video. If you'll hold your nose, Brendan. I baptize you, Brendan, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there a second. I'm going to pray for you. Is there any family that wants to come up? Family, if anybody wants to come up, we're going to pray for Brendan, and then we're going to baptize Braylon. Or no, are you good where you are? You want to come up? One of the things that the Bible tells us, Brendan, is that when we accept Christ, that the Holy Spirit of God, we talked about this, He comes to live inside of us. And so I'm going to pray over you that happens. Awesome. All right. If y'all want to put a hand, if you can reach him. If not, reach somebody beside you there. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for Brendan. I thank you that he said yes to you and that you had him on your mind when you were on the cross. God, I pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit. God, I know he doesn't understand all the different things as he grows up, that his understanding will increase and that his love for you will increase. But Father, your love for him cannot increase because it is full, it is perfect. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you want to send little brother in. There should be a towel right around the corner. All right, Braylon. You're up, buddy.
Hey, Mama.
Hi, Mama. If you'll stand right there, Braylon, there we go. So I'm going to ask you the same questions as we talked about this word sin that I asked your brother. Do you admit that you're a sinner? We're all sinners. Do you admit that?
Yes.
And you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin? You want to receive Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized in that faith? Yes. Amen. All right. If you'll sit down right there and hold. Go ahead. Sit right there on that ledge and hold your nose. You want to hold your nose, buddy, I promise. All right. Braylon, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there for 1 second. Okay, we're going to pray for Braylon. Y'all want to come back up? Come on up. Yeah. Lots of people love this little guy, both these guys. All right. Can you scoot where they can get to you just a little bit? Okay. There we go. Lord, I just pray. I pray for Braylon. I thank you, God, that you love him so much. I pray that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit, God, just that you would empower him to grow up to be the young man you have created him to be, and he would bring glory to you. I pray blessings on the Hernandez family, God, and thank you for their love for you, their love for this church, and our love for them. Bless this family. Bless this your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, we have been moved from death to life. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.